this message, I am certainly not qualified to preach because I got a problem. It's something that's been a problem in my life for, I guess, since I was born. Maybe it's my background. I'm not sure. But this real killer that I'm talking about this morning is anger. And, you know, everyone has the capacity for anger. I think everyone in this room has been angry at some point or another. Most of us even have healthy flashes of anger, you know, like when we witness cruelty or injustice or betrayal or some other person's transgression. And we can get righteously angry about that. Anger in and of itself is a God-given emotion, believe it or not. It's what happens when anger goes unchecked that I want to focus on this morning. I want to start with an example from my life and just to illustrate what I mean. Anger can really take us a lot further than we ever thought we could go. So I used to play ball, and there was this one time where there was a close play at home plate, and I was coming in from third base. The catcher was getting ready to catch the ball, and it was a bang-bang play. The throw was high, and I slid. And as I slid, I hit the catcher's feet as he was jumping and pretty much cartwheeled him, and he pretty much landed on his head. He got up, and he was mad, and probably rightfully so. I didn't think that I had done it on purpose. He jumped right up in my face, and before I could get real angry at him, my teammates pulled me back to the dugout. Well, this catcher went into a fit of rage that I've never seen before. He was yelling at the umpire. I mean, he was just really angry. He picked up a ball and threw it with all his might back at the pitcher, who was not looking at him. That ball hit him right here in the chest, dropped the pitcher to his knees, and he left the ball game. Now, I know this catcher. He's not that type of guy. But I venture a guess that some of your angry responses aren't anything to write home about either. It's a tough message for me to preach. You see, I got a problem. I'm from a German background. My last name is Beiler. Now, before you get all over the name Beiler, your name might be Stolzfus or King or Lappin. You might have a temper too because of the same background. You see, my problem with my background is this. A German background, if you go back to 1935 through 1945, they were actually angry enough at Jews to kill 6 million of them. Their anger was kindled so much against German Jews or other Jews that they were actually able to kill. But on the other hand, I can trace my roots back to the Reformation, and I know some people that were seriously persecuted for their faith that even when they were dying were forgiving their captors. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 20 to 27. I'm continuing my series in Matthew. I don't know how long this will take because I get bogged down every five verses. But it's good stuff. Matthew chapter 5, verses 20 to 27. Says this, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. We still follow that rule today. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembrance that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. You know, anger does not make for a neat little sermon. It gets pretty messy. And I found myself battling with my emotions when I was preparing for this message. In fact, I got angry because I was angry. No joke. So I look back at times when I was hot-headed and didn't respond appropriately. I was pretty upset about that. Because looking back, I'm like, what purpose did that serve? But we'll get into more of that as I move along. So the first thing I want to look at is the traditional view of anger, what we think of as anger. Or before this point, what anger, how it was viewed. So we feel, as people, we have rights, and no one had better take away those rights. This is the first step of getting caught in anger. If someone gets in our space, they're in trouble. Or it says in another place in Matthew, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I've had a few of those encounters. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Maybe just a tooth for a tooth. But I remember growing up, my older brother than me had a few wars. I'm not really proud of any of them. But just trying to show you the point that I'm not qualified to preach this, but I think there's something in this passage of Scripture that can be applied to all of us, including myself. So, you know, there's several unhealthy ways we can deal with anger. We can suppress it. I want you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. And this is what I mean. Anger is a God-given emotion, but there's a difference between anger and causing us to sin anger. It says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Okay? So here's where the tough thing is with anger. There are times when you will get angry, but it is important to reconcile that anger. Some ways that we deal with anger is suppressing anger. It's sort of like an abscess on your tooth. You know, you can take pain medication, but in about 6 hours again, that tooth is going to start hurting. Or in my case, I just had surgery on my shoulder. And even though I took a pain pill, I could guarantee in 3 or 4 hours, it was going to start hurting again. That's how anger is. Suppressed anger. It's always there. It can boil up. At times, you don't even think it can boil up. But it's there. Can any of you tell me, on October 2nd, 2006, what significant event happened in our community on that day? Can you raise your hand if you know? That was the day a guy by the name of Charles Roberts walked into Nicomine's school, and took the lives of 5 girls and injured 6 others. I still remember that day very well. I was at Linville Hill, and my dad called me and told me of the circumstances that were going on. And I remember sensing a lot of fear, knowing that he might be on the loose very close to us. I reread the story this morning. That was a mistake. It took me about a solid 40 minutes of my preparation time as I read that story again, and I shed a lot of tears again. My brother was one of the first responders that day. I heard him talk about it once. I've never heard him talk about it again. It was horrible. It's a bad, bad day. And you try and get inside of the mind of how that happened. And as I read further in the article, and some of you know this, one of his driving factors was the death of a 9-day-old child about 9 years before this happened. And he never forgave. He suppressed this anger. Wasn't real visible either. Seemed pretty normal. But he suppressed it. It's a tough story. And if you'd hear the details, I can't even share the details in this congregation, but you know the details. You know the pain that was inflicted on those families and in our communities. You see, at Linville Hill, we never locked our doors. Never. We had doors wide open. We had windows wide open. That doesn't happen anymore. It changed. I mean, that's just a small thing, but it changed our communities. Sometimes another way we deal with anger is we hide it. Now, for some of you, that's impossible, because when your face gets beet red, we know you're angry. Or you can just ask my wife when I'm angry if you can't figure out if I'm angry or not. She'll say something about, well, you get this funny face. And I said, what funny face do I get? Well, she says, your face, your mouth goes from being either a frown or a grin to something like this, straight line. So whether I'm reacting to my wife in anger, she knows already if I'm angry or not to something that has happened. So for some of us, that's an impossibility to hide anger. For others of you, that's a very real thing. You hide anger really well, and nobody knows you're angry, but you choose to be angry in your own silent way. Another example of this, I had a student in sixth grade. His mother became very angry at life, and she felt the best way out of that was to take her own life. Why? I guess she was just hiding anger. Sure made it really difficult for the eighth grader and the sixth grader that I was trying to console. Sometimes we spiritualize anger and we'll say, this just isn't right. You know, leaders can be really good at this fault. We get upset when people don't do what we want them to do, and we spiritualize this anger, and we say, I have to be right, you got to be wrong type of thing. Or sometimes we deal with it this way. We're sort of proud of our anger. And you may say something like, well, God made me this way. You're just going to have to deal with it because I can't control my anger. Well, that doesn't work with God either. Let's look at Jesus' teaching about anger. I want you to understand the seriousness of anger. And the first thing that I saw in this passage, look at verse 24 again. Something I never saw before I studied this passage. I'm sure I saw it. I've read this passage a lot of times. I just never understood what it meant or wasn't touched by it. Verse 23, actually. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembrance that thy brother hath aught against thee, I hope you get past the King James Version here. But what it's saying is this. If you come to the altar, in the Old Testament time, that would be asking forgiveness for what you did wrong, or worshiping God. If you come to the altar of worship and you got a problem with your brother that you can't resolve, this passage, and I don't think I'm misinterpreting it, says don't even bother coming to worship. That is a strong statement right there. If you're angry with a brother, don't even bother coming to worship before God. It says leave there thy gift before the altar and just go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then put your gift on the altar. I never saw that before. I don't know why. First Peter 3:7, and turn to that quickly. First Peter 3:7. This is actually talking about husband and wife relationship. You know, you can say what you want about statistics and why divorce happens, and you can say it's finances or it's infidelity or whatever it is, but I guarantee you anger is one of the largest factors in divorce because people can't come to grips and reconcile things. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says this, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I'm going to talk to guys for a brief moment. Guys, if you can't treat your wife with respect, if you can't treat your wife with love and reconcile and forgive, it says that your prayers will be hindered. That's pretty true. I'm not a perfect husband. If I would say I am, I would have to deal with it when I get home, and I don't need to do that. I've made some real mistakes in this area. I still make mistakes in this area. But I can tell you one thing for sure. It is a relationship killer when there's anger and unresolved. It is a relationship killer. And you're going to find a theme in all of this. Anger is a relationship killer. In verse 25 and 26 of Matthew, going back there again, it says, agree with thine adversary quickly while you still have a chance. You know, a lot of arguments, a lot of anger could be resolved if you took the first step. You're all familiar with the term road rage. Well, I understand that there's a lot of stupid drivers out there. And I understand that it's easy to get mad at another driver when he's not performing to his capabilities. But I also know that it takes two to tango. Because in a road rage incident, if the other person would back off, there would be no incident. Am I safe in saying that? It takes two. So while you have a chance, back away from it. I don't know if you ever got to the point where you just wanted to give him a little bump draft or something that, because he was just being ridiculous. Okay? Maybe you don't get that angry at drivers. But let me tell you something. You see where this could lead? You actually could do something you never expected to do when you set out that day when you were driving. Tell you another story. I had a student, was actually in the news recently, who just made a lot of bad choices the last 4 years. Grew up in a Christian home, had every chance to succeed as a Christian. But he made a lot of bad choices, made a lot of bad friends. This man was recently charged with stabbing two people in an incident that happened in a kitchen because it left the house that he was having a party at wrecked. When he woke up that morning, he had no idea he was going to stab somebody. None. But anger took him over the edge. And it says here, agree with thine adversary quickly while you still got a chance, lest at any time the adversary delivers you to the judge, and my interpretation, you end up in the slammer. It can happen pretty quick. You know, having a hot head can get you in a lot of trouble. I would know. In James 1:19, actually, let's drop down back a little bit again. In verse 22, it talks about three different things that you call your brother. So if you have, it says in verse 22, if you have anger with your brother without a cause, you shall be in danger of the judgment. I don't know exactly what the judgment is here. Other than this, I work with a lot of junior high students or high school students. And all I know is when you become angry with somebody and you call somebody Raka, or you hold them in contempt because of who they are, and you call somebody a fool or an idiot, it can kill. Because I've seen kids devastated by peers. Devastated. You don't think it matters? It absolutely does. Because what you say off the cuff, or what you say in anger, has a great effect on people. My third point this morning is this, and I call it a cure-all for anger. Anybody want to share with me in one word what a cure-all for anger is? The way to get over it. Tell me. Is it holding your breath and counting to three? Forgiveness. Exactly. Forgiveness is a cure-all for anger. as I was reading through that article this morning about the Nickel Mines shooting. You guys know the story. The overarching theme of the hideous crime that was committed, that was raised higher than the crime, was forgiveness. It gave a story in there of an Amish man. Said, sat for an hour with the father of Charles Roberts and just held him as Charles Roberts sobbed in his father sobbed in his arms. That day, there's a group went to the home of the widow of Charles Roberts. And that day extended forgiveness to her. The article went on to say, it was written from a secular viewpoint, said many people had an issue with that. They said, how can forgiveness happen when there's no apology? Do you believe forgiveness can happen when there's no apology? I do. The pain that those families dealt with. And even, now, I am not saying that they didn't struggle every day with that pain. I'm not saying that, because they did. And some of you guys are neighbors to those people, and you know those people and their relatives, and you know the struggle that was there every day and continues to be there for some. But what I am telling you is forgiveness takes away bitterness. Proverbs 9:11 says, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. And I understand that you will always remember some transgressions. But I also understand that even before forgiveness is asked for, you can forgive a person in your heart. I think there was times in my life, I know there was times in my life where I didn't do this. And I held a grudge toward a certain individual or a certain group of people way too long. And I think that's what made me angry this morning. And I'm like, why? Why am I holding that grudge so long? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32. And I want you to hear this passage. And it says this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. And with all the malice, get it out of here. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now this morning, as I close, there may be someone that you know you got to talk to. You've held a grudge with them for a long time. It's time to let it go. Just remember, there's a couple things that I talked about. It's impossible to worship God with anger and bitterness. And you may say, Gion, that's too harsh. Well, I just read you the verse. It's right there. You know you got to talk to somebody. What I don't want to miss in this is the reason why we can forgive. And it is the very last phrase of this verse. Read it one more time. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I don't care what anybody has done to any of you. What I do know is what Christ has forgiven. And as you ponder what Christ has forgiven in your life, it becomes a whole lot easier to forgive others. I'm going to close with a story that a teacher told me many years ago, and some of you may have heard it. There was this woman who her husband died. The pastor was a faithful pastor. And he, over the time that he died, was on vacation. Hadn't gone on vacation with his family for years. Got word that man had passed away, and they were actually very good friends. And they were in another country, and it was a very difficult thing to get back. He called the associate pastor, and the associate pastor said, I think you should stay with your family. I'll handle the funeral, and we'll do it that way. The pastor agreed to that. When he got home after the funeral, the woman met with the pastor and was very mad at the pastor. Said, doesn't our relationship mean anything to you guys? And there was a seed of bitterness that came in. And the pastor just was distraught. Felt like he should have been there, but made a mistake. He asked the lady to forgive him. And the lady said, no, I can't forgive you. This man tried for years, many times, to ask for forgiveness from this woman. As the years passed, this lady was on her deathbed. And the pastor went one more time to ask for forgiveness for this thing that happened years ago. And the lady's reply was this, sir, I would rather burn in hell than forgive you. Don't let anger grip you. While you have a chance, ask for forgiveness. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you would help each one of us with the emotion of anger. It's something that we all struggle with. It's something that we've all mishandled. But Lord, I pray that if there's something that we know we gotta just give to you, I just pray, Lord, that you would just help us to go to that person and to ask for forgiveness. Lord, help us not to lose sight of what you've forgiven in our lives. Pray this in your name. Amen.